The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hi, this is Brad Fiddler, and you're listening to the final hooter with Adrian Jackson.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Brad Fiddler. Got him to do it again, Dave. Unfortunately, he's missed you off again.
You can't teach these Australians anything, can you?
He sounded very bassy there, by the way.
He was, yeah. I think, has he been, you know, joining a 90s bass band or something?
is that what he's doing now?
Brad Fittler and his amazing 90s bass band. There you go.
He's been retired a few years now, hasn't he, old Brad?
He made a comeback, though, didn't he, earlier this year? That's where you got him to record it originally, wasn't it?
Exactly, but he's left you off. So we'll have to get him on the phone and get him to do it again, I think.
I'll have to have words. It's no good. He can't keep missing me off. I'm one of the stars of the show.
Right, Ed, this is the star of the show for loverably.com. It is the final hooter. My name's Adrian Jackson, joined by David Parkinson. And wow, what can you say about the action?
Fantastic.
Just wow.
Yeah, I mean, we've just
Don't be saying fantastic, because you say that every time.
Oh, well, I do, because it's
Think of another word. Any word that ever you like.
Great.
Okay, then. That'll do. Go on, you're going to expand on what
you mean? What
you're
she
say?
Said that you just wanted that, you know, but we've seen some fantastic tries over the last
few
weeks.
Fantastic.
You know, especially over the Easter period, plenty of good rugby league played. You know, I'm just a huge fan of this time of year. I really do appreciate it. You know, the players, they really put themselves through it. And we know it, don't we? Because the coaches keep saying about it as well at this time of year.
Yeah, certain coaches don't like that period of Easter, do they? Two games over the Good Friday and Easter Monday, but hey.
It's mainly the ones who lose, though, isn't it?
It is. You know, funny enough, it is.
If you don't finish with a 100% record over the Easter period, nobody likes it.
Now, I know last week I wasn't here, so you had an Easter special with James Gordon, but other than that, since I've been away, we've had three cracking rounds of rugby league, haven't we? We've had two games over the Easter period in Super League and the round before as well. We've had some cracking games in the Championship.
We have, yeah. I mean, certainly my pick of the Championship action was Dewsbury's win against Batley.
Funnily enough, we'll be hearing from Glenn Morrison, by the way.
Okay, that's always good. And also, what about this in Championship 1? Oxford 38, it was the Gloucestershire All Golds 24. Great result.
Sounds like a cracking game down there. Is it Ilfi Lane?
Ilfi Lane?
Is that the name?
We'll have to get Tony on the phone, Tony Benson. I'm sure he'll explain it.
I wouldn't mind being down there. It's a very picturesque rugby league ground.
Yeah, you've no excuse for getting it wrong, have you?
I forget me left and right.
Mind you, you're a rugby league evangelist, haven't you? Being down south, you know, like the last few days.
Exactly. Speaking of Championship 1 games, my favourite game over the last couple of rounds is going to be the London Derby. It's great to see the Scholars getting the upper hand over the Hemel Stags.
Couldn't be much closer, that one. At half-time, 12-all, and then the Scholars just doing it in the end, 27-24.
At least we've got two competitive teams in London playing rugby league.
Just not the one in Super League.
Not just the one in Super League, unfortunately. Right, also, we mentioned the fact we're going to hear from Glenn Morrison. We're going to also hear from Mr. Exciting Craig Sandercock. And we've mentioned players in recent weeks who've reached 500 appearances. Now, the likes of Paul Wellens has done it, hasn't he? And Jamie Peacock. And the Leeds had JP Day. Well, we're going to catch up with another guy who's done it. Maybe not as high profile as the guys we mentioned, but Ian Watson is still knocking around and he's gone through that 500 barrier. So we'll hear from him. And after witnessing his big win against St Helens on Easter Monday, we'll hear from the man himself, Danny Tickle.
The man with the golden boot.
But before we move on, let's go into our ugly... Let's go into the...
Start again.
I've had too many chocky heads. The good, the bad and the ugly.
Right, we got there in the end.
That's what I meant to say. Right, let's start with the good, shall we? It's got to be the two-game Easter period for Super League. I mean, let's face it, coaches might not like it, but the fans just absolutely love it, as the attendances for the games have shown.
Well, we saw at Widnes, there was almost 8,000 people there. We saw on Good Friday how big the attendance was over there.
There was over 60,000 on the Good Friday games alone watching those matches.
17,980 at St Helens, and, you know, over 5,000 at Wakefield, 10,500 at Warrington. No, the numbers just stack up, don't they? The only club letting it down was London Broncos. They got just over 1,000, but everyone was tipping that they were only going to get about 500, so even they managed to double what they're expecting.
At least they're consistent, unlike the performances.
And then we also saw what was a really interesting Hull derby as well. Hull Kingston Rovers and Hull attracting 10,000 fans to Craven Park as well.
Also as well in the good, bumper demand for the Magic Weekend with over 30,000 tickets sold already, just proving the Magic Weekend in Manchester is a fan's favourite and in my opinion should remain on the Rugby League calendar.
I think that it's certainly grown into a part of the Rugby League calendar, hasn't it? And I think to alter any changes of it now, especially when they're talking of it being the magical 13th round, aren't they, or the final round in Super League before everybody goes a separate ways when we end up with the mixed division from next season. So it really does put a lot of emphasis on those games there at Manchester, and I think it's the right decision to keep it there, to be honest.
I used to like it in Edinburgh, to be fair, but having been to Manchester for the Magic Weekend, it is a good venue, and I think the fans are showing the appetite for it as well. So
can I add a gripe?
Despite all these people saying they should get rid of it, I don't think they should.
Can I add just one gripe? And it's just the fact that when the championships, they don't have a free round, so no championship fans can really go and attend it.
Maybe that's one thing they should look at. Maybe they should have a blank championship and championship one weekend, and let the championship fans go and savour the atmosphere of the Magic Weekend.
Maybe they'll mix it up and chuck a championship Magic Weekend in there as well next year.
In the bad, Super League coaches and pundits complaining about the two-game Easter period being too demanding on players. Well, let's face it, we've got full-time players, roughly 25 to 30 men in each squad.
We've done it for 119 years.
So basically,
as well,
with those numbers and the fact they are full-time, they should be able to deal with those two games, surely.
And ironically, you know, I know the Championship clubs haven't played this Easter Monday by some quirk of fate, but in days gone by, and certainly if you ask around the Championship, a lot of the coaches there, they actually like and actively prepare their squad for the Easter period. So it's a case of getting your preparation right, isn't it? We've been doing it for 119 years. We've already spoke on this show about the number of, shall we say, traditions that have gone way west in rugby league. Let's not have this going west as well. I'm a big fan of the Easter programme.
Have you noticed it just seems to be, you mentioned it always seems to be the coaches who've lost games who were on about it, but it just seems to be getting more momentum with Australian coaches not liking the concept.
They've never liked it. I mean, you know, for as long as there's been Australian coaches coming over here, they've always been moaning about that particular time of year, haven't they? And I just think, you know, if they're that bothered about it, maybe they should just stop in Australia and let the British do what we do best, and that's play these games over the Easter period.
Finally in the bad, too many officials for this weekend's Challenge Cup ties. Why have we now got two in-goal touch judges when we don't have them in league games?
Yeah, I mean, okay, for Super League games, you have got your regular in-goal touch judges, but when two of the ties that are taking place in the Challenge Cup this weekend are between all Championship teams, why is there in-goal touch judges for that? I just don't get the reason. Either they're needed or they're not. You have them at every game or you don't have them. You know, and if the Championship on a normal occasion can cope with just being four officials in attendance, why do you suddenly need six? Why don't we just go the whole hog and have like two men in a stand as well? And you know, and
it's
also
that old, it's that old saying, isn't it? Too many hands spoil the broth.
And also, who pays for these? But the clubs themselves, you know. So already, they've been talking about the Challenge Cup not being at its previous glory, shall we say, as far as attendance goes, and they're expecting clubs to pay out extra on the match officials. I just can't understand it. I would love for a match official to come and explain that to me, because I just don't get it.
Before we do move on, by the way, I thought I'd mention this one. We mentioned Super League coaches not liking the two-game concept. Maybe match officials don't like it, because our mate Warren Turley, no, you mentioned somebody
Warren
else
B.
then. Exactly, Warren Turley. He actually, if you remember, started the Widnes St Helens game on the touch judge flying the flag, and he replaced at half time when I spoke to him after the game. He had a bit of a slight tight thigh, he said.
Oh dear, get better soon, Warren. They need you out there, lad.
So maybe he might put an argument in for two games over the Easter period is too much for the officials.
I know that they have rub downs and they end up going for runs to keep things supple, shall we say.
In the ugly anyway, Bradford's performances over the games over the Easter against Wigan and Leeds got to raise the question, are they worthy of a place in Super League? Because if that was London, they'd be getting slated for it.
Well, I mean, I go back just a few years as well, and you had Chris Casely during his time as chairman of the Bradford club, at one point actively saying to clubs like Widnes and Lee, who were having, you know, quite a torrid time of it when they were in Super League and picking up those sorts of scorelines, oh, Super League isn't a competition for those sort of scorelines. Well, the boot's on the other foot now. I have felt a bit of sympathy for Bradford over the last few months, certainly for the fans, and I think that they deserve better, but this quickly turned into a laughing stock. And you know, now is Super League strong enough with Bradford in it, or are they going to be stronger without Bradford? That's the question.
I don't think they'll be missed.
It looks to me like Bradford don't want to be in Super League anymore, if you judge those last two performances. They've got to buck up and shut up and get buckling down, haven't they?
Well, that might explain why in our next ugly section they're in there again for appealing against a 6 points deduction.
I think that you just take that decision. They have to just take that decision and battle their way back. Have they not got a stomach? Can they not stomach the fight that's in front of them? That's the question which I'd be asking. And I go back a few years, and I know when a certain club not that far from here ended up losing by a club record margin, the club actually took blazers back off the players and didn't issue them back until the performances improved.
Wow.
You know, is something like that needed in the modern game to show these Bradford players that they need to be better?
No, the club just needs to accept the punishment like everybody else has done in the past, because if they don't and it gets overturned, it could have serious side effects.
It could. I mean, we've already had the Wakefield chairman saying that, you know, depending on the result of that, he could end up stepping down. And why should a man that has fought tooth and nail to keep Wakefield in business have to face that when Wakefield themselves had point deductions? So if they get away with that, Bradford Bulls, then it could open a whole can of worms. And everybody who's ever had points deducted, everyone who's even been fined, should put in an appeal. Because I tell you what, they should be able to overturn it then, shouldn't they?
Do you think they're doing it so they can get the 6 points back because they know they're not going to get out of the position where they are?
Well, you can.
In terms of relegation.
You look at the fixtures coming up, and over the next few weeks, they've got St Helens, they've got they've got Warrington on the horizon as well. There's not going to be a lot of change coming their way, I don't think, over the next month. So it's going to get a bit hairy down there at the Oddsall, and I certainly hope that they're up for the fight. They need to be up for the fight, because if they're not, they'll be relegated by mid-season.
On the field, we had a double header over the Easter period that kicked off on Maundy Thursday and rolled through to Easter Monday. But who won the games on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday?
Okay, here are the results. Bradford 6, Leeds 46. Hull Kingston Rovers 21, Hull FC 20. London Broncos 22, Catalan Dragons 28. And then we've got Salford Red Devils 22, Huddersfield Giants 42, St Helens 14, Wigan 33, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats 20, Castleford Tigers 43, and Warrington Wolves 44, Widnes Vikings 6.
Not a good start to his coaching career. That is Salford for Yston Harris.
Well, I think they managed to win the week before, didn't they? But I think that basically put it down to earth with a bump. And obviously with the performances beyond that, could we soon be looking for another coach in at Salford? They've already indicated that there could be changes in the pipeline. So I guess we'll just wait and see what happens regarding that.
And who are the winners on Easter Monday?
Easter Monday, we saw Castleford 40, Warrington 6, Catalan 37, Hull Kingston Rovers 24, Huddersfield 36, Wakefield 16, Hull FC 40, London 4, Leeds 32, Salford 4, Widnes 40, St Helens 26, and Wigan 84, Bradford 6.
Wow, great scoreline there at the DW. At least Wigan were consistent with their performances. As for the game I just heard there, Castleford against Warrington. Bad day at the office for Warrington, but Daniel Powell's men really on fire at the minute.
I'll tell you what, it's a really outstanding result, that, to be honest, for Castleford. Michael Shenton had a great day. Not only did he top the try charts on that particular afternoon for Castleford with 3, he set up 3 and also topped the tackle count as well, so it was a busy afternoon for him. And maybe he's just enjoying being back at the jungle after a couple of years at St Helens, where, to be fair, it didn't really happen for him, did it?
And as for Castleton Dragons, They are slowly getting back to the best, aren't they?
They are, yeah. They've got a real, and I mean this in the most polite way, but they've got a real ugly pack who will get stuck in. They will run the way around the field, and they've got an exciting back line as well. And with Price doing what he does best, Leon Price was a real key figure to me in that game against Hull Kingston Rovers, that there's only one way that the Catalan Dragons are going, and that's up the table.
You should have ugly men in the pack, because if you have nice looking forwards, that means they're not doing the hard yards and going in there where they're going to get hurt.
I didn't particularly mean from a physical aspect. I meant just the fact that they get stuck in, they do the dirty work, they just get, you know, the really rough, tough, hard men. And every team needs them, and certainly they're coming to the fore at the moment at Catalan.
Tell you who is a rough, tough man for St Helens, that man Massimo So.
Oh, we saw him firsthand, didn't we? And basically, he's the size of a small truck, runs about as quick as one, and he's harder to put down than one of those bowling balls.
We mentioned him, but the man Andre Sevilio, what a talent and prospect he is.
He looks like a real talent, and it's hard to think that. He's just 19 as well. He's got a heck of a future in front of him, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how he develops. We did see some of the St Helens youngsters, but really we should be paying credit to that Widnes performance as well, shouldn't we, because they were really good on the day.
They were poor against Warrington on Friday, so obviously Dennis Betts' men have worked hard in between that period to get themselves set up for a big challenge against St Helens, and they came out with the right result from their point of view.
They did, and you know, they played some outstanding rugby at times as well, and midway through the first half, we were there, weren't we, Adrian? And to be honest, when we were having a discussion about it, you wouldn't have complained if Widnes had been something like 28 points to 4 up by the midpoint of the first half, because they were so dominant. But St Helens, like the great team that they are, came back into it, didn't they, before half time, got it back real nice and close, and then in the second half it took a really solid performance from Widnes to just take it away. And we've already complimented some of the St Helens players. There was a great finish from Tommy Makinson, who's doing a really, really good job out on the wing.
That trademark move he does, I wonder if he practices it in his back garden.
He should sell
just
it
just to make sure it's down to precision.
He said he should sell it, shouldn't he, because, you know, I tell you what, I bet there's a lot of formula,
have like training classes for it.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot of Formula One cars that I'd like that sort of precision and being able to get around the corners like he does, you know, because he's just got this amazing balance and this ability just to leap in at the corner. But we must congratulate Willie Acer as well, not renowned as a try scorer, but coming up with his own flying effort. And McGrath Lulai, I like it when forwards who don't get a lot of the headlines actually come up with big, big performances. And for McGrath Lulai, he's had his critics, hasn't he, at Widnes, but he's certainly putting in the effort and getting his just deserts.
Still flying the flag for the championship.
Definitely, yeah. He signed a while ago from Lee Centurions, didn't he? And it has been a really good signing for Widnes and continues to flourish.
One man that's been around the world of rugby league for ages is Danny Tickle. And he had a great game for Widnes on Monday, and I caught up with him after that big win against St Helens. So, Danny Tickle, congratulations on the win, but what a game that was.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, we knew it was going to be tough. St Helens, as you was fully aware, they rested a few of their key older guys, and you know, the fact the young guys showed up today, but I think it was important that we showed a response from the previous two games that we played, you know, going into a big game next week in the Challenge Cup. So we found a bit of form, but there's still a lot of improvement to be done.
You mentioned the game on Friday, so it was important to get back to winning ways today, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we not many people are disappointed. We train hard. We could do everything what we should be doing. We listen to the coach. What areas we need to improve on, and that's just to keep building each week. But I think that obviously the last 2 weeks has not been good enough. So it was nice to get back on the winning track, and we'll take confidence from the game leading into the Challenge Cup next week.
Certainly cruising in that first half. But what was going through your mind when Saints came back towards the back end of it?
Yeah, well, I came off with 10 minutes to go, and when they scored a try, there was a couple of scores in front, but the only thing that I was thinking of was, you know, over the years, St Helens have got teams with it many a times, and thankfully it wasn't us today.
Guys showed plenty of character, scored first in the second half and had the final say at the end as well.
Yeah, it was key to get off to a good start. I mean, you know, we've started games poorly these last few weeks, and we knew that if we could get off to a good start. Obviously, St Helens are a quality team, and we knew it was they was going to come back at us at some point in the game. And thankfully, we got off to a good start, and we held our nerve going out for the game, and went on to score a few more tries.
Now, we all know about your kicking ability, and towards the end, you had to hold your nerve to ensure you got the kick over.
Yeah, it didn't really cross my mind. I mean, I focus every kick's the same. I want to kick them over, but yeah, it was a pretty tight score at the time, and thankfully, you know, I knocked it over. But you know, credit to the boys, it was a tough game, and you know, there'll be a few sore bodies because obviously everybody plays these. It's a tough period, this Easter period, and thankfully we've come through on the winning side today, and we'll recover well, as I mentioned, for a massive game next week.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Right, we just heard from Danny Tickle, David, and I tell you what, he's very well spoken for a Wiganer.
Does all right, doesn't he? Can string a few sentences together.
And he didn't even mention the pie.
No, he didn't. And, you know, that's, again, I'm going to say, that's amazing.
He must be well brought up over in Hull.
Maybe that's where it is. Mind you, I don't mention pies that often, you know, and I don't come from that far from Wigan, do I?
See, because when I've been to Wigan, I need a translator with me to understand what they're saying, but I got everything he said then.
That's because you've been all right last time you was in Wigan. You had me sitting alongside you, didn't you, to interpret.
Right, we've touched base with the Super League. Let's dip our toes into the Championships. Now, luckily for them, guys, they didn't have two games to play over the Easter period. I know Paul Rowley likes it, doesn't he? But these players didn't. They had one big hit out on Good Friday. And how did those results go in the Championship?
OK. Barrow lost at home to Halifax. Dewsbury Rams accounted for Batley 43-10 in what for me was the outstanding result of the championship for this particular round. Next we had Featherstone 36, Keithley Cougars 12, Lee Centurions 60, Swinton Lions 24, North Wales Crusaders 16, Rochdale Hornets, who have really picked the form up, 42, and Sheffield Eagles 34, Doncaster 42, Whitehaven 22, Workington 16.
Like I said, the one that stood out for me was that one against for Doncaster and Sheffield. What a great comeback by the Donnies, and I'm sure Paul Cook would have enjoyed getting one over Mark Aston.
Yeah, 28 points to 12 down at half time. I mean, that is one heck of a great comeback as well for Doncaster, and it's a score virtually 30 unanswered points in the second half. It's just an outstanding piece of play, to be fair.
Well done to Lee Centurions, by the way. Still remaining the only team we were 100% record in rugby league.
Certainly running in the points and the tries as well. Liam Kay crossing for a hat trick. But for me, again, I'm going to come back to Dewsbury because there was a couple of tries there for Greg Scott and seven goals from nine attempts from Tom Hemingway. So it's nice to see him finally getting some regular rugby in his career.
And I see me old mate Shaney O'Grady getting in the team of the week as well.
He did, yeah. And again, he's had a really good start to life at Dewsbury, hasn't he?
He certainly has. He's enjoying himself over at the Tetley Stadium.
In Championship 1, it was Gateshead Thunder 26, York City Knights 30. We've already mentioned it. Hemel Stags 24, London Scholars 27. Hunslet Hawks 38, Oldham 12. And, as we mentioned before, Oxford 38, Gloucestershire All Golds 24.
Good effort from the other clubs that are involved in the Championship, but you just get the impression at this stage in the season it's going to be a straight shootout between Hunslet and York, isn't it?
It does look that way, and Hunslet looked the strongest team down there. Mm. They're scoring plenty of points at the moment. I mean, I was tipping Oldham, wasn't I, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but they seem to have fallen off the horse just ever so slightly. You know, getting tonked by such a margin away at Hunslet doesn't point to the fact that they're going to be competing with the top two for that much longer, does it?
Now, we mentioned both Swinton and Dewsbury. But Dewsbury and Swinton went head to head in round 7 of the Championship. It was Swinton who came out on top against Glenn Morrison's men. And after that game, I caught up with Ian Watson, who celebrated the fact that recently he's crashed through the 500 barrier and he's in the 500 club.
Oh, he's had a great career, hasn't he, to be honest, Ian Watson, and just so enthusiastic for it as well. He's had, you know, so many clubs. He's made a lot of people happy during his time playing rugby league, and we're going to hear from him now.
To be fair, I didn't really look at records. I didn't really know how far I was off until the back end of last year, and somebody said, yo, you're quite close to 500 games. And it's a good milestone. I'd seen one of my good friends, Adrian Morley, he'd got 500 as well, and I'd seen the kind of way he was treated off Warrington for kind of getting there, and it inspired me a little bit to try and get that landmark. But at the end of the day, I love rugby, I love playing rugby, and great, I've got to 500 games, and I'm still playing at the moment now, and I'm enjoying it. The thing is, I love it and I enjoy it, and hopefully I can continue. Hopefully, definitely this year anyway, and then at the end of the year we'll reassess where we go, whether it's more into looking to focus on the coaching or whether maybe playing again, but we'll see on that towards the end of the year.
First time you pulled on a pair of boots, did you think you'd get to 500 plus?
Oh no, yeah, it's first time you put a pair of boots on, you're just dreaming about playing rugby professionally and things like that. And obviously I was lucky to do that, and then I've had other highlights throughout my career which I've looked forward to do, but like I say, I enjoy it. It's something that I look forward to. I don't see it as a job or as anything like that. I just see it as something that I enjoy doing, and I like to do it and give my time to it as well.
You mentioned some of the highlights you've got over the years. Which one stands out for you?
Oh, there's a few, to be fair. I mean, Wales, playing for Wales is obviously massive highlights for me, to be fair. European Cup wins, World Cup semi-finals against some of the best teams in the world, playing Australia, New Zealand, England, playing against them and testing yourself against the best players. That's obviously the massive highlights. Then there's been things like in Super League. The first Super League season we was in with Salford and was top of the league. We'd won our first six games. We'd beat Wigan as well, who were on a massive run. I think they'd had 34 or 40 odd unbeaten Challenge Cup games, and games like that. There's special moments all the way through the career, even lower down, even in the Championship, getting Championship finals and being involved in good teams, to be fair. So yeah, there's been a lot of highlights.
You mentioned your teams, you've played for Workington, Widnes, Salford, Lee. Anyone else you've not been to?
Yeah, I've got more clubs than Tiger, haven't I? No, it's like I say, I enjoy playing. I love playing, and I was fortunate that there was always a few clubs who were courting me come the end of the seasons for playing. So it was just kind of make your mind up and what was best for me, what was best for my family and where I went. And I went to Halifax for 1 year over in Yorkshire, and I loved that, travelling up there under Martin Hall, to be fair. That was brilliant. And Workington, I went for a year, so I did a little bit of travelling there, and I enjoyed that as well. I just think rugby's a great environment to be involved in, and if you enjoy what you're doing, it obviously helps, and I do.
You mentioned some of the clubs you play for. Is there a particular favourite club that you still hold close to your heart?
Oh, Swinton. Yeah. Out of all the clubs, to be fair, I've been involved in pretty good teams, to be fair, like with Widnes, even Salford, when we've won things. Obviously, when you're winning, you enjoy things more. Under Martin Hall, to be fair, I had a couple of years under Martin Hall, at Halifax, and he seemed to be able to get a good team bonding together, and them times were special. Widnes as well, I had a couple of good years at Widnes when we got to the Championship final under Steve McCormick. I think it's the environment you're in, you enjoy more than anything else, and the camaraderie with all the fellas, and if there's a good group of boys like these at Swinton now, then you enjoy it.
So he does enjoy it.
He does, yeah, and you can tell it, can't you? He's still so enthusiastic about the sport. I reckon someone like Ian Watson can go for another 500 games with just the enthusiasm alone, can't he?
I used to like his little skip.
He's still got
do.
That little skip. He still does it. I noticed that he played against Lee on Good Friday. Kicked 4 goals as well, which takes him within 2 points of 500 for Swinton. So he's still notching up the records and landmarks.
Yeah, it could go a long way, couldn't it? And I think the RFL should make a big thing of it, because they've done it for JP and everything else. Maybe it should give him some recognition.
Well, I would be all for that, to be honest. I don't think Championship players get perhaps the credit they deserve, and in a lot of cases, they're not doing it for the money, they're not doing it for the glamour, they're doing it for the genuine...
Doing it for the love of the game!
Well, they are, aren't they? It's the genuine love of the sport. And I know it sounds trite, and I know it sounds, you know, like I've written that down and I'm
you'd
reading
have,
it off a card.
You have?
I haven't. You can just check the desk in front of me.
Okay,
but seriously, you know, I really appreciate a lot of the efforts that these lads put in. So when you hear about, you know, somebody complaining the fact that they've got to play 2 games in 3 days,
go and have a word with Ian Watson, he'll put you straight.
Yeah, he will, and I hope he goes on for another 500 games, like I've said.
League action takes a break in the UK this weekend. That's because we have the Challenge Cup making a return. Our road to Wembley takes us back to Lee, Mr. Parkinson.
Certainly does, yeah. Lee at home to Featherstone Rovers, and that is going to be one top tough cup tie.
Now, I know it's not the glam tie because of the TV you've gone for Leeds and St Helens.
Don't know why.
I'll tell you what, that'd be a better game to watch.
I think it's going to be really close. I mean, Featherstone second in the Championship against, as you've already mentioned, the unbeaten Lee Centurions, who have romped in for 340 odd points in just 8 league games. They're going to have to do it without Jake Emmett, who has been suspended by the Rugby League for his part in an incident at Halifax just the other week. But again, it really is one of those games where I think it's caught the imaginations. Featherstone are on about bringing between 1,000 and 1,200 people to the ground, and you know, Lee are confident that they might get somewhere up near 4,000 for the game.
Fingers crossed that'll be the case. And I get the impression with Featherstone, they're slowly getting round to John Bastion's way of coaching.
They seem to be. I mean, results have picked up for them over the last few weeks. They've not particularly got off to a great start. I think they lost against Dewsbury, didn't they, in the opening round of the competition. But I mean, since then, other than a loss against Doncaster, who have also done extremely well in the Championship so far this year, they have been really good. And they were certainly good when they came up against North Wales Crusaders in the last round of the Challenge Cup when they won 66-0. So they've still got that real point scoring zest about them, albeit the fact that someone like Liam Finn, for example, has moved on. But they've just gone and replaced him with the likes of Mendika coming in from Warrington, and it just gives an opportunity for somebody else to stake a claim as well.
There is quarter-final places up for grabs, and because we've got a couple of Super League clubs going head-to-head, I mentioned St Helens and Leeds going head-to-head, we've also got Widnes against Salford, so there's going to be a couple of Super League clubs biting the dust.
Well, there is. I mean, Bradford Bulls against Catalan Dragons, with the way that the Bulls are going, we might as well just give Catalan a bite to the next round, might we, you know. But Castleford, they're at home to Sheffield Eagles. Salford against Widnes, like you mentioned. Warrington take on Doncaster. Wigan against Hunslet, and they'll probably have a better game, a tougher game against Hunslet than they did against Bradford last time out.
Yeah, certainly can't see any upsets regarding Championship against Super League.
Possibly not, but it's going to be great because there is going to be a couple of Championship clubs winning the way through to the quarterfinals, because we've also got Swinton Lions and Keighley Cougars, which brings the other Love Rugby League road to Wembley into focus with ours, doesn't it?
It certainly does. All to play for, and good luck to all our teams, and certainly Lee Centurions will with it all the way.
Thanks for your support.
Okay. Before the Easter period as well, we caught up with Glenn Morrison, who, after his team lost out to Swinton in round 7, so he wasn't that happy. And Craig Sandercock, spoke to him after they won their game against Warrington in round 8. Sorry, and I'll be honest with you, when you hear this audio right now, try and pick out which team actually lost. Have a listen. Glenn Morrison, as games go, that was what you call a roller coaster of a ride.
Yeah, we made it that way. We kept inviting them back into the game, and they got the points. We said beforehand that they'll play for 80 minutes. They've been unlucky with a couple of other games where they've pushed teams all the way. But in saying that, we should have put it to bed by half time. I think we should have been 20 points up at half time. We dropped the ball over the line 3 times, and just invited them up our end.
With that in mind, is that frustrating for you as a coach?
Yeah, very frustrating, mate. That was 3 points that we should have got on the way we performed. But saying that they play well, and they tested our defence, and today we weren't quite good enough. But we gave them back the bat sets, and they scored nearly every time. So that's disappointing.
Got the drop goal at the end. Do you think that was the game done then?
No, we're still some point time on the thing. I thought we could still score another try. That was the way the game was going, but got up again. We let them up that our end with a penalty, and they got the field goal, and then another one at the end where we invited them up there again, and they scored on another penalty. So yeah, disappointed, mate. We should have got a win. Yeah, the effort. I said to the boys, not knocking their effort. They tried hard. Worked hard, but just weren't smart at times. And I think the first half, they were saying they got frustrated. They got up there, and there was a lot of opportunities to score, and didn't. And I think it put them off their game a little bit, which they got to be better than that. So yeah, things to work on this week for Friday.
Big Easter period coming up, and is the derby against Batley the good antidote for it?
Yeah, you got to, if you can't get up for big games, big derby games, you shouldn't be playing. So well, they're the ones you want to play in. So yeah, we just make sure everybody gets fit and get looked after with the physio and stuff, and then get the side out there that we think we'd get the job done. But we need to improve, or else we'll embarrass ourselves at home.
So Craig Sandercock, big win here against Warrington, but how sweet does revenge taste?
Oh, no, it's not revenge at all. It's just, you know, a good high quality game of rugby league today, and you know, we were fortunate enough to come out on top.
Very close first half, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just exactly like last week. It was just, you know, two decent sides battling out, and you know, today we took our opportunities and got the results.
took the opportunity first half, and they put four Wayman, showed a lot of pace again on the shoulders of Travis Burns, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You know, Mick, you know, he's a quality player, and he's been there, done that in the game, and it was really pleasing to see him score a try.
I suppose to score first, second half, really give the guys the boost to kick on and get the job done.
Yeah, definitely. I think the score first was really important, and we did that, and it put us in good stead.
Travis Burns has a tremendous game, but he's easily backed up by the rest of his teammates, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was absolutely outstanding for us tonight and led the boys around superbly. And you know, I thought all the boys played well, especially you know those 13 that had to play when we had those four injuries.
As a coach, you must be pleased to have got the result set up nicely now for the Easter period.
Oh, definitely pleased the 2 points, and I'm pleased you know the boys you know played well tonight, and it's just a small step you know in the right direction.
No, is he finished?
Who, Glenn Morrison?
No. Craig Sandercock. Did he actually win the game?
Did, yeah. Did you not hear him? He was praising Travis Burns.
Right, okay, because I actually thought Glenn Morrison sounded a lot more happier than Craig Sandercock.
I think, you know, Craig Sandercock's just one of those blokes. He doesn't show a lot of emotion, does he?
I'm going to nickname him Mr. Dull.
No, we
can't
do that.
Not Glenn Morrison, I'm all about Mr. Sandercock.
No, you can't say that.
I can, I've just done it.
You can't. He was obviously happy that they managed to win. Yeah, he was saying that.
Did he sound it?
It's what he said.
I fell asleep.
It's what he said rather than how he said it. You know, that's what we've got to look at here. And, you know, I mean, I've got to credit the way that he's gone about his business at Hull Kingston Rovers, to be honest, because they certainly have picked up the results as of late, haven't they? And to win like they did at Warrington was a really good performance, to be honest. And as was picked out, Travis Burns has been outstanding for a number of weeks.
I had my doubts about him when he came over last year, you know, for what on earth did he sign here? But he's proving me wrong.
I think he came over a little bit chunky, didn't he? And I wondered whether he was a loose forward in disguise.
Do you reckon he's been eating the pies?
I think now he brought it back to pies again. You're just obsessed with them, I tell you.
Chicken and mushroom, steak and kidney.
Whatever it is, he's got back on it, hasn't he, Travis Burns, and he's playing some outstanding rugby league.
Speaking of pies, they do a mean steak pie and chips at the Chippy outside the Hull Kingston Rovers ground. Highly recommended.
I hope they've paid for that advert, you know.
I've tried it. I'm giving it as a personal opinion.
Has that
nice.
Gone in your pocket, that?
No, but seriously though, yeah, Craig Sandercock, okay, not the most enthusiastic coach when you speak to him, but he's slowly getting things right at Hull Kingston Rovers, even though it came off the rails a little bit against the Catalans. But to their credit, the Catalans are proving difficult to win on their own patch.
Yeah, they're on the rise, just like Huddersfield, to be honest, as well. And they've had their first year of inconsistency, shall we say, over the opening weeks of the Super League season. But I think, you know, over time, the cream generally tends to rise, doesn't it? And I think this is what we're finding with Hull Kingston Rovers. They are going to be in there or thereabouts, aren't they, as far as the top eight goes?
Speaking of the cream rising to the top, well done to the England youth team, by the way. They defeated France over the Easter period, so well done to them, guys.
Always good to get a win over France, no matter what sport you're playing, but especially when it's rugby league and there's England youth involved. I bet a number of those players end up signing professional contracts and go on to make a success of themselves.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see which ones do.
It will, yeah. I mean, I think most of them are currently signed up with clubs' academies, so I think a lot of them have already signed deals and committed themselves. But, I mean, we've seen some outstanding talent develop over the last few years, haven't we? I know I'm a big fan of Gareth O'Brien, for example, who's now just about starting to make his mark over at Warrington. And, you know, he certainly came through that same structure and then played for England Academy when they played against the Aussie Schoolboys. So, I mean, that's the next step, isn't it? You've done it for the youth. Can you do it against the Aussie Schoolboys?
One thing I will take from those games, France made it really hard for the England guys over as well over the Easter period. And to be
they
honest,
didn't turn
with
the
you,
water off on them again.
But
did they?
They probably did. But to be honest with you, France seems to compete at youth level and just seems to lose all those players as they get older.
They do, yeah. I mean, if you look at the results down the years, certainly at youth level, it's always a big challenge, isn't it? And they're always hard fought contests against the French, but as you mentioned, they seem to hemorrhage players, and for some reason they don't tend to go on to the clubs. Now, is that just because rugby union holds sway in much of France? That could be a show all of its own, couldn't it? But I suppose this is what various French coaches down the years have been complaining about, isn't it? The fact that not enough young players end up making it through to the senior ranks, shall we say.
Yeah, I think the dark side of rugby's got something to do with that in France, but luckily for us over here, that's not, doesn't seem to be a problem with a lot of our youngsters, and we just seem to have that knack of unearthing young kids to come through and be the next generation of Super League superstars.
Well, that's right, isn't it? I mean, you know, currently at the moment there's a number of really young three quarters who are exciting and should set the game up over here for, you know, many years to come. There's various good forwards which are coming through and, you know, topping it all off. We actually seem to be producing some halfbacks at the moment, so, you know, things are good. I just hope that the halfbacks get their opportunity, because so often, especially if you're in a Super League environment, you tend to want to sign an Australian as a quick fix and hope it does the business, don't you?
Well, that's going to be the danger with now the fact we've got promotion and relegation in our game.
It's not a danger.
Well, it is, because clubs are not going to take the gamble, are they?
It's not a danger, you know, because, I mean, clubs have had the chance not to take the gamble for about 3 or 4 years now, and it's not happened. So, you know, this is where I'm really pleased that clubs like Featherstone and Lee in the Championship, they're leading the way as far as English halfbacks goes. And you've got to chuck Halifax into the mix as well, because they usually have a few decent young players coming through the ranks. And Ben Johnston there, who's a real excitement machine.
Wish I was 14 again and get me boots on and get out there.
Who'd take you on these days?
Like I said, I wish I was 14 again.
Did you have that sparkling pace that would have attracted the professionals?
Well, I'd like to think I did. In my dreams.
To the bar, maybe.
I wasn't drinking at 14. All right, maybe at 15 I was.
And that's where it went wrong.
Exactly. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, rather than being what would have been a great, fantastic international rugby league player. Okay then, Parker, that's us done and dusted for another show. It's been a good one, hasn't it?
It's been a cracker. I hope you join us again very soon.
Plenty of gaffes in there, but just enjoy the gaffes.
We do.
That was the Final Hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington.